Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 731 of Smart Wrestling Fan, the podcast about wrestling. 731 episodes, that's right. I'm Joe Negron, along with Mr. Mutant Larry, you can hear back
there. Hey, Joe Negron, along with me.
As you can hear, I am sick. As you can plainly hear, I am a chef. I have a cold now. I was going to say getting over it, but I don't think so. It's like it's in the middle, you know? I guess if it's in the middle, I'm getting over it. I don't know.
I guess you got it. You were getting over it. Once you were born, you started to die.
That's how that works, huh?
I don't know things about physics.
I think you grow first, so I think you're wrong. I don't know, maybe.
Well, don't your ears always keep growing?
Yeah, like when you're...
So your ears never die.
When you... haven't you ever seen a zombie? It's like Dumbo. It's great. So Zombo, I actually call it.
Giant Dumbo ears on every zombie.
Yeah, that's why they can fly. How did you not know that? Okay, so we're going to talk about wrestling this week. Let me tell you something, brothers and others and others. WWE Burp, excuse me, fell so short this week. Fell so flat, and Blood Money was on Friday at Sands of Time or Super Showdown for you guys. We are not going to review it on the show, but let me just tell you,
brother,
it was not good. Not a good show. And some people were like, oh, but the women are going to wrestle on it. Says who? They started a thing about, okay, so what happened was Natalya and Alexa Bliss decided we should try to go to Saudi Arabia and wrestle. And then they didn't. They went along and went to a hospital and like met up with a little girl who was sick. So that was nice. But then Natalya said, we took steps. This is just the first step. There were no steps taken. It wasn't mentioned on the show. Nothing happened. That's not a step. Going there isn't a step.
What did they tell the little girl in the hospital? To get better so she can do nothing?
Yes. They said, get better, and maybe one day you'll be allowed to drive.
Maybe.
Yeah, they said maybe. And then juxtapose all this this horribleness with, right next to it, two of the best New Japan shows I've seen in forever, and it was the Best of Super Juniors final, and then the Dominion show. My God. What a difference. What a difference fun, good wrestling makes. What a difference when you try different things and different stories and different... Oh, my God. It's so much... I don't even know what to say. WWE, try harder. Try anything?
You can just try and then later try harder. But let's just try. Like, for 3 weeks, try.
Yeah.
And if you like that, maybe you could start trying harder.
They're not going to do that. Because, again, they're rich. What do they care? They don't need to do anything different. Sick of it,
I wish the E in WWE stood for effort.
Yeah. I wish the E stood for entertainment. Zazing. So we're going to talk about that this week. And unfortunately, Raw sucked again. But if you didn't like Raw, what you do is you go online and you watch TLDR, Too Long Didn't Raw. That is a 5 to 10 minute version of Raw with action figures. Why would you not want to see that? It's free on YouTube. You should go get it right now. YouTube.com/Joe Negron. And you can watch it. And I think this week's episode is the last one ever. Because nobody's sharing it. So it didn't go viral. So we're quit.
I haven't even got to see this week's yet.
No, I'm just kidding about the nobody is sharing it. There are very nice listeners that are sharing it. The problem is that we need some... And that's awesome, and thank you so much. But we need people with like a million followers to retweet this stuff and things like that. Where's our connections, Larry? Where's our...
I have no connections. No. Not even mob ones. I wish I had mob connections.
I have some, and it's just not working out. So
I have flash mob connections.
Me too. I have that too. So what we can do is we can say that this might be the last episode of TLDR ever, unless something changes. So that's sad. We got to 23 episodes. That's pretty good, I guess.
That's better than your average podcast.
You know,
how many years have we been doing a podcast?
Almost 15. This, I think this month it'll be 15 years. Oh, or will it be 14? Man. It'll be the 14th anniversary, which means we start year 15 the end of this month. Also, this show will be over too pretty soon. That's it. We're done. We're finished. We can't keep doing this for free. We just can't keep doing it. We get some money from our Patreon patrons, and they are the awesomest, most, the greatest people on earth. They really are. They're so nice. They love this show. They want to support this show. They go to patreon.com/smartwrestlingfan and they keep it going. But after a while, it's like we need some new blood to make some money so that we could keep doing the show. The show doesn't pay for itself, you know?
No, we don't have a rich Saudi sheik wanting us to come over and do our show.
We don't. So I'm going to ask this week for everybody. I'm sick and I'm tired, but I'm not sick and tired. I'm just sick because I have a cold, and I'm tired because I have a cold. But I am exhausted. So please, this is the week to become a patron. This is the week to share TLDR and make sure it gets, you know, some views and stuff. Discovery is the problem in this 2019. That's the issue, is that
it's true.
There's a lot of great things out there, and it's impossible to find them in the sea of terribleness. And I'm not just saying us. I'm saying lots of different cool things that are out there aren't being discovered because discovery is controlled by the people with the most money. And so they want their friends and their already successful things to then gain more money and gain more fame. So, and it's also becoming apparent. Have you Google searched lately? I'm sure you have. Do you see how different it is now when you Google search and everything that comes up? I mean, it used to come up like a few promoted ads and then, you know, the search. Now it's like, if you search for anything in wrestling, it's always the same, like, Bleacher Report and the same few, like, big name wrestling things that come up first. Even if you're trying to find information that maybe would be better from like WWE's website or a different website, but those come up first. It's a scary thing, but it's all, you know, it's all pecking order of money. It's no longer an actual search. It's no longer a search for this is the most relevant answer. It's the search for this is the most bought answer. This is the most paid for answer. This is the most curated answer based on people with money that are helping other people to get more money. So again, I don't want to sound like I'm just being a big baby about it or complaining. I'm just saying this is just how it is. I know how it is. I'm well aware of the fact that discovery is difficult in this day and age. And we don't have the money to have like a Super Bowl commercial, or we don't have, you know, and there's only so much guerrilla marketing you can do. There's only so much cold calling you can do.
They're endangered animals.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I'm just saying, I just wish somebody, you know, there are people, listen, and this is the other thing. And again, this is not complaint. This is more just like, I'm just stating facts here. We've been doing this show for, like I said, almost going on 15 years. And there have been people that have listened to this podcast. We were around since 2005. Okay. And near the beginning when podcasts started, one of the first wrestling podcasts ever, the longest running wrestling podcast ever. That's us. That's Smart Wrestling Fan. But we've been doing the show so long. There have been people that have listened to the show, been inspired by the show, taught classes on podcasting based on this show, been inspired to start their own podcasts, been inspired to go into radio, been inspired to go into television. There are success stories from people that have listened to this program. The problem is, those people aren't giving us a hand and like helping us up to the next level. They are just taking what they learned from us and they are just helping themselves get richer. And again, not a complaint, just saying it's kind of disappointing. That's all. But that is what's happening. So, you know, what can you do? What can you do?
Wait and see where this internet thing goes.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take off.
Okay. It might. But anyway, I just had to get all that out because I'm very, maybe it's the cold medicine talking, whatever, but I just, I'm, I'm sad that we might have to stop doing TLDR just because of time reasons, because I have to do things that would make me money instead of things that are I'd love to creatively do. And you know what this all, you know what else this means?
What?
The Smart Wrestling Fan Television Network that was supposed to be on Twitch may be in danger of never happening now. Yeah.
Pulling the plug? No, say it's not.
I didn't say we're pulling the plug. I said it is in danger right now of not happening.
Well, threaten plug pulling. That's almost as bad.
I'm very disappointed, Larry. I'm very sad. But I wasn't disappointed when I went to the mailbox and I did find a package that said it was from Mr. Mutant Larry on it.
That's because you haven't opened it yet.
Oh, man, this sucks. I'm going to cry.
Okay. Well, I didn't know you were going to be sick. That's kind of a double whammy.
No. Maybe we'll open it on the show, but should we do some news?
Yes, let's save that for something between the wrestling, maybe.
I'm so bummed out. This is so... That
always was a nice box.
Friday was my birthday. My birthday was WWE Super Showdown. Think about that for a second. I was sick.
And you even got changed because your birthday was supposed to be NXT.
Mm-hmm.
They took that away from you. So
I don't know what to say. Difference. Okay. All right. Enough of that. Enough complaining. Let's just do some news. We're not even going to get to music for the news. I'm just going to do the news, okay?
Do the news. Do the news. All right. The ratings.
Let me do the ratings because they were terrible. Last week's Monday Night Raw scored a 1.7. And again, when you look at that and go, wait, but lately that's considered not that bad. That's horrible. And then SmackDown Live got a 1.55. Throw it away. Take those ratings and throw them in the garbage.
What a deal. What a deal for Fox.
Uh-huh. News bits and rumors. Mickie James is out right now with ACL problems. ACL surgery is imminent and happening this week, it looks like. So Mickie James... fix that ACL. I'm not sure, you know, if she wants to continue wrestling or whatever after she's back, but I'm sure she does.
Rated ACL superstar.
I would assume she does. Yes, she's in the new company, ACL. Yeah, that's real. Also, Akam from Akam and Razor team, AOP.
Who? You know me. What? I don't know these people.
He's cleared, and if you watch Super Showdown Blood Money, then you would know because... yeah, that's how they reintroduced him, as just, oh, look, he's okay, and he's in the 50-man Battle Royal.
Remember when they reintroduced Gator Boy in the Battle Royal? Luke Harper? He's back.
Oh, that's really sad. That's really sad. And finally in the news, New Japan is bringing back the Super J Cup this August. Super J Cup, everybody, if you like that, it's a single elimination tournament, I believe, this year, this time. But I guess they're doing this because it's Liger's last year as a wrestler and he wants to be in it or do something with it. I don't know, but good for him. You know, Liger's retiring. If you didn't know, Liger's retiring this January. So,
well, he is. How old is he in human years?
48, 52. Can't remember. 52, I think.
Cat years. He's like
52. 48. 58. I don't know. In cat years, yeah, he's like 102, so pretty old. But that's your news. That's it. I just want to talk about... now, should we talk about SmackDown, and then we'll do the birthday present package thing?
Yeah, I think that...
we'll do that between SmackDown and Raw. Okay, SmackDown gets no music this week, so there you go. Let's review it.
Oh, SmackDown gets no music? That's a shock.
No, because it was so dumb. This was the go-home show to Blood Money.
Yes. So... we knew Blood Money was going to suck, so this kind of had to suck, but it sucked more than it even should for a sucky pre-show.
Yeah.
It's going to suck. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. SmackDown, live from Laredo, Texas.
I think it's Laredo, but yeah,
sure. Laredo, Laredo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you know Texas is so big, it's actually in two time zones, the 1940s and the 1950s?
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, just in race relations. They don't even name check Laredo. So
No.
Corey Graves, Byron Saxon, and Slenderman are on commentary tonight. And tonight's a special night because the three most powerful wrestlers in WWE appear tonight. Goldberg, The Undertaker, and Shane. Wow, not necessarily in that order of appearance or power.
Wow.
two-thirds day out. It's Xavier and Kofi. And Kofi has learned that life is crazy. It's almost like it's Jamaican him crazy. We see clips of some kid who thinks that Kofi is the SmackDown champ.
Yep.
It's not, but okay. Aww. So Kofi went overseas to Africa. And so now, instead of Jamaican me crazy, he's Ghana insane.
Oh.
Did it? Because he went to Ghana?
Don't worry about when Fox gets SmackDown on the debut episode, Kofi, because your title's going to be going Ghana. Yeah.
And Kofi told every kid in Ghana they can be WWE champions, so he lied.
Yeah,
and there's just no way. There's not enough. There'd have to be like it'd be more title changes than R-Truth in 24/7.
Yeah.
And my notes say Dolph Ziggler comes out.
Okay.
And he says it's all about him. And all Dolph can do with this storyline is just do it. Should have been me. Should have been me. Should have been me, DDP. Dolph shows a video. Yeah. And Kofi is still a nice guy. He will eventually get a little edge, right?
I hope.
So he's really nice. But Kofi has a response video ready for Dolph. How would
he do that?
I don't know. What? It's a response video, and it shows when Dolph quit. And
why are there so many video packages at the beginning of the show?
Oh, and they're also at the middle and the end and the part right after the beginning before the middle. God. And then right after the middle before the end and before the end and right towards the middle. It's all video packages.
But this video package is the one where Dolph's like, hey, U.S. title, I hate you. And he just leaves it in the ring.
Remember that
led
that went?
Nowhere.
And he didn't have music, and then he did. And so, yeah, it's when Dolph quit. The crowd chants, you walked out, kinda.
They don't know.
I don't know. Some people might have been into it. Kofi says he never quit. And Kofi says, as long as I'm WWE champion, it would never be you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I
suppose. Yeah.
But then Dolph has a response video to the response
video.
Oh,
my God. That can't be real.
It's Dolph beating up Kofi last week. So... okay, so now stage is set. We're talking about Dolph and Kofi. I understand this. We come back and match announced earlier today, New Day against Kevin Owens and wild card yet again, Sami Zayn.
Oh my God!
But I just watched the whole who is Owens? Why? So yeah, and Kofi and Xavier just obviously assume Dolph has gone home because he did his thing. Obviously, he won't stick around and attack them like he has for 3 weeks.
Never.
Good match, but what are the stakes here? What is the story here? It's either no story or some weird Kevin Owens story that's been on hold for a month and a half. What?
Here's the story. Owens and Sammy, you can't go to Super Showdown. You're in the doghouse. You're going to lose every week now.
Yeah, they do. Kofi gets the pin. And then Dolph attacks. New Day could have never seen that coming.
Wow, New Day looked like chumps.
Wow. Okay. Wow, SmackDown's like half over or something. It's crazy. That took so much time. But in more waste of time, because Shane is in the back, and he talks to us. This is good. He says, I'm the best. And he says he's going to beat up Roman Reigns. And great. Wild card Alexa Bliss comes out for a moment of bliss with Bayley. Why does she need to be on the show?
Well, at least Alexa's been nice to Nikki Cross. She's a face, right?
Yeah, she must be. Well, she's dressed to wrestle, so I don't know why she's doing a TV show dressed in wrestling gear. But she's honored to be the wild card from the superior brand.
Oh, that's healing.
So this second she's a heel. Bayley comes out, and Slender Man tells us how Bayley won the title. The very night she won the Money in the Bank, she cashed it in. And he actually says this, how cool is that?
I guess it's cool. What?
How cool is that? Who are you? How cool is that?
Weird.
But even dumber is Alexa Bliss's whole gimmick is coffee now. I don't... Yeah. When did this... Why is...
When she wiped it on her butt.
That was so bad.
Remember when she ate coffee with her butt?
But she's ever done. And yeah, that's her gimmick now, coffee. Mm. Eventually, Bayley slaps the coffee out of Alexa's hand. And that makes Alexa Bliss want a title shot. Great. What? Carmella comes out now, and Carmella says, hey, you wild card, you can't just show up and get a title shot. Well, we've seen it for a month now.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair comes out.
Oh my God, why is she in everything?
Because she is the Baron Corbin of the women's division.
I think she is. People said she was the Roman Reigns, but she's really the Baron Corbin.
She talks and she said Shane had already made a match tonight to see who faces Bayley at Stomping Grounds. Wow, that's strange. He didn't promote that.
Yeah, I think what?
You might, if you're going to make that for number one contender, maybe not.
Hmm.
Graves says that Bayley has just become a target. Why? She's not even having a match tonight, and she knew she was going to have it.
But also, isn't she always a target if she has a title?
What? Well, yeah. Then they talk about Taker on Raw, and there's just so much, there's nothing to say about it. So they're like, hey, how about Taker saying to Goldberg, you're next?
Oh my God.
That's their big.
Wow.
He said the thing with the stuff. He said it. Say the thing.
God.
Carmella talks to R-Truth backstage. So yeah, R-Truth and Bray Wyatt. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
And he wants to call Shane, but Shane calls Carmella's phone. And then Truth does a great job of taking the phone and just repeating everything Shane says so we can hear.
Yes, it's one of those really, really bad one-sided phone calls where the person doesn't know how to do it right. But it's very funny. It's amazing. Yeah.
So he's like, I have a match already. I have to get to the ring. And Elias is in the ring. We come back from commercial. Elias is in the ring. And I don't understand. Wrestlers are sort of surrounding the ring. They're all jacked up and lumbering around. I can't figure out what is going on.
Neither can I.
The commentators are also confused and then shocked when the announcer says it's a lumberjack match.
But wait, they're all the guys from Raw. So how is that? What? Wild card? 20 guys from Raw? What?
Well, the Jacks are wild tonight. So. And again, the rules have changed because the 24/7 rule is not in effect during this match. Which, did that mean it was in effect when R-Truth came to the ringside? God. Do I need to think about this much? Will you stop making me? Corey has to explain, which still doesn't make sense.
No.
Elias wins in like no time flat. And so when people say, what was Elias' second title in WWE? It was still the 24/7.
Oh, God.
And how, okay, I understand Shane did this punish Truth, reward Elias. I don't know. Technically, I can't really say. But what did Shane think would happen when he didn't see that when it was done and the rules are back on that he is surrounded by people?
Right.
Or was he punishing Elias?
I don't think Shane gives a crap.
I don't. Well, then he's like everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all the lumberjacks are like, let's jump in the ring. Just as we'll jump into the ring for that 50-man battle royal coming up. Oh, so they all wrestle around. Elias sneaks out. But yet everybody keeps fighting in the ring. And Elias meets up with R-Truth. R-Truth chases Elias under the ring. A ref follows them. Somehow the bell guy knows that the...
Yeah, how'd that happen?
One, I don't know. Truth pops out. He has a title. He runs away. But everybody doesn't care because they keep fighting in the ring doing a pretend battle royal and yet being tossed out and then leaving. What?
Yeah.
What? This is always stupid.
Every time. Also...
The premier... Preview Battle Royal is always stupid, but this one was even dumber because they were in there to. They had a reason to be in there that was not about.
Also, Larry, as long as you have Truth as champion at the beginning and Truth as champion at the end, then everything's coherent. Then
well, let's get to more bad stuff because we see Aleister Black and he's confused because no one's knocked on his dressing room
this
door.
Is
and
horrible. He has a dressing room. How would anybody know where he is?
Well, he has a dress. He says he has a name on his.
Where?
So he has I've never his own seen dressing that. Room? I don't know. And if it did, he's been doing this for like 4 weeks. Is he in the same dressing room from 4 weeks ago? Because that's in a different city.
I guess.
Is that why no one's knocking? Because he's like in San Diego?
Lee Marshall.
Texas now?
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's not your daddy's WWE, which.
What does that mean?
It kind of depends on your age, but that might be the Attitude Era. I don't. And he says he's refusing to do anything but wait impatiently until someone knocks on his door. For God's sake, someone order pizza for him or something.
Anything.
Because I'm so sick of this. And then he does a weird smile at the end.
I hate
what?
It. This is not him at all. I hate this so much.
It is just awful. But worse, Shane comes out with two wild cards, the revival. But Slenderman jumps in and tells us they take up one wild card.
Why? That doesn't even make sense.
What about the Usos? We were told they got two. More videos of Revival hurting Roman. And Shane says Roman is a dog and he's going to neuter Roman and lay the title at the heels of the best of the world. What?
What?
That didn't even make sense.
No.
He's the best of the world. Roman comes out, punks out the Revival, and out of nowhere, up Drew Claymore. Then they beat up Roman Reigns again. They show me recap videos, but then they do the same thing.
Yeah.
What? Why do I need a recap video if you're just going to do the same thing?
Well, if you're going to keep beating up Reigns every week, then at Blood Money, then Reigns is going to win, right? Now, by the way, spoiler, Shane wins. Shane pinned Roman Reigns, everybody. Just to let you know. Just to let you know that. In case you didn't know. Also, Goldberg versus Undertaker was the worst match I've ever seen. So there you go. Yep.
You're not really being too facetious there.
No, I'm being a little sarcastic, but it was horrible. It was embarrassing. They had no business in there. And they were supposed to wrestle for about 12 or 13 more minutes, and they had to cut it short. Undertaker gave up.
Well, certainly
Goldberg couldn't even stand up, so wow.
But certainly they won't go short tonight. But and also, it's just people are like, well, he got hurt, so... You know what? They shouldn't have been in there because they're going to get hurt. What if he had gotten hurt severely? What if that tombstone had snapped somebody's neck? Please just let them retire. And after this is all over, Slenderman says, Shane McMahon has lit a fire in Roman Reigns. Can he put it out this Friday?
But
who's putting out the fire? If Shane lit it, why would he put it out? Is he talking about Roman putting it out? And fire burning inside you is usually good. We come back. Bliss and Charlotte are and Carmella are in a three-way to see who faces the ladies' SmackDown champion at Coffee Grounds or Kofi Grounds. I don't know what it is. Alexa does a flip bomb. This match is weird. I don't understand. We have a person whose gimmick is that Women's Day Punch or whatever it is from...
Women's Day Punch, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Oh, my God.
Okay, she doesn't know the Women's Day Punch. But... how can Alexa knock out Carmella with a punch if we already have somebody?
Right.
And Alexa is small. It's just lots of kick, kick, kick the match. Mandy Rose comes out with her partner that they don't talk about. They distract Carmella, and then Carmella disappears. Where did Carmella go?
I don't know. She died.
Come back, and Carmella is still disappeared. Mandy's still out there. Bliss pretends to hurt her knee, or maybe she does because it doesn't really come back. Mandy and Sonya finally interfere and just trip Carmella, and DDT by Bliss. Bliss wins. Oh, okay.
I'm glad she did two flips and a DDT. That's great.
And it's almost like Charlotte doesn't care. More videos of Brock. And in the back, we see diminutive Jimmy Schmidt's getting an earpiece in. And Lars is going to give her an interview. Ooh. We come back. She's in the ring. And I guess the whole gimmick is she's safer in here than out there. I don't know why. There would be security closer back there, but I don't know if this is a good look. A female interviewer scared in a ring of a guy like this. No. Whatever. Crowd chant's boring, so they don't even care. I don't either.
They don't care, but listen, when Lars was in NXT, whether they hate Lars or like Lars, whatever, or if he's a racist, he's not a racist. Let's put all that aside. Lars on NXT, maybe there's some potential there. Lars in WWE, let's see what Vince has written for him.
Well, obviously, Vince wants to give him the best, you know, start off he can. So Lars says, would you ask a nightingale why he tweets his song? What?
Yeah.
That's like one of the first lines, and it's gone. It's suffer and suck attack. He says that everyone can only describe him with one word. And he says, say the word. She's too scared to say the word. And he makes her say, you know, freak. And she's like, freak. I want somebody to remix, like, Super Freak the song. And there'd be Super Freak.
Yeah.
Super Freak. And then I thought, okay, it's one of these horrible bad promos Vince writes. But it doesn't have, like, every bad Vince. And then he does a, like, nursery rhyme.
Yep.
Oh, my God, Vince, you're 1,000.
Kayla,
you're 1,000,
do you Vince. Like nursery rhymes.
Hey, what year is this? Oh, Vince is like, I love the nursery rhymes. Everyone knows, hey, diddle, diddle. What? What?
My God.
Vince, someone stop him.
No, they're not going to.
Someone has to. If it was anyone else, they were like, nursery rhymes. Yes. What? Oh, it was the pits. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he'll be lucky enough to someday be Bray Wyatt's lackey. Maybe, but I don't even know
about that. I don't think so. But he'd be now, a nice Boris Karloff. Yes. I was going to say Kozlov.
Of course, Kozlov would be awesome.
Yes.
We see, besides Aleister Black, the only other person who gets a dressing room is Goldberg. So those two are pretty equivalent.
Yeah.
Andrade out.
Okay.
Except I have him going against Polo Cruz.
Whoa.
Polo Cruz.
Polo Cruz, not Polio Cruz. Got it.
Oh. Finn jumps out and attacks Andrade and beats him up. So Andrade, Andrade says he's going to destroy the myth of Finn Balor. What myth is that in WWE proper?
None.
He was the first. That's all we're ever going to say. First Universal. So he beats up Finn and leaves.
Yeah.
Now Finn needs the demon more than ever.
I guess so.
Not when he had those title matches.
No. Not when he was going for the Universal title or whatever. No.
But now when he has a title and is fighting a mid-carder. More videos. Whoa. And then Goldberg's going to be up next, they say. We come back, and what's really next is Triple H talking to Orton. Ugh. The videos, so we see them talking from Raw and SmackDown again. Why would I ever want to see that again? Then Santa with Muscles comes out of Goldberg's dressing room. I don't know if they sweetened the cheer or not, but I think they did. Goldberg goes out there and he says, it's been 20 years. Yep, that's what I want to hear out of a wrestler. Yep,
I love hearing how many years it's been and how old you guys are.
And you know how old he is? He's so old, a light switch went off in his head. A light switch went off in your head? Not
a
bulb,
a switch.
So you just heard it. There was no like, click. No. And then he tells he says, Undertaker, you're going to get the Goldberg you've been watched for 20 years. You mean you've been wanting?
Oh.
But he said watch. But I think he meant wanting. And Undertaker, you're next to rest in peace. Oh, he said it. He said the thing and his thing and the other thing. Like he's saying all the things. But oh no, music goes out. He has no time to walk because this show is only 3 hours long. So he magically appears in the ring, the Undertaker. But then the lights go out and he disappears. And why is Goldberg facing the wrong way when the lights come back on? Goldberg turned his back on Undertaker?
I guess.
That makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And then the go home line is Goldberg says, tighten up your jock strap.
No.
Do they even do that?
But he said, because we're going for a ride. What?
Buttercup.
No, but buckle up, Buttercup.
Do race car drivers wear jock straps?
No, they wear jock straps.
Well, the indie ones do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, that it? But no, we get pay-per-view, the recaps of the matches, but no, a Shane recap, but then a Goldberg recap. What? That was the night of a million videos.
I hate it. And it was all to sell a pay-per-view that, remember, they said equivalent to WrestleMania. Larry.
Or exceeding.
Listen, equivalent to exceeding. This, okay, let's say we didn't even like WrestleMania, but it was an 8 out of 10, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super Showdown was about a 2.5.
I was going to say, you could have said WrestleMania was a 5.
Right, seriously, I could have, but I'm being nice. I'm saying, like, look, if I don't know who they're trying to fool with this, or if that was the line they gave to the Prince or whatever, but they should be ashamed of themselves. It was garbage. Do we have any SmackDown emails? I don't know. Let me look.
I don't think so. Why would someone write in about SmackDown?
Excuse me, I'm not really sure. Nobody did.
Yeah, good for you people.
Let me read about New Japan instead. Okay. This one says, New Japan Dominion, this weird thing they did. It's from Ian. It says, hey guys, there weren't any other high profile shows this weekend, so I thought I'd write in about New Japan's Dominion show. It was a generally great show with a slightly weird finish to its main event. However, I noticed they were doing something weird. Throughout the night, they were pointing out reasons why two wrestlers would fight each other and giving explanations for their personalities and characters. It felt like some of these matches were as a result of things that happened earlier on other shows and just hadn't just been thrown together for no reason. Stranger still, at several points, people announced they were going to be part of an upcoming tournament, or they did things that made you think they were actually going to eventually fight one of the other people in the ring. It was as if they wanted people watching this show to tune back in and watch other shows another time.
Sounds very confusing.
Yeah, I think they call them stories. As a WWE fan, I'm very confused. Thanks, guys. Ian.
I don't know what that is.
I've never heard of them. I've never heard of them.
I have another one about your New Japan.
Do you?
Yeah, it says, dear SWF, is it just me? Well, I don't know. I'm not there. I can't look around. Is it just me, or should this guy...
This guy.
That's name is?
Gino?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Gambino. Okay. Be Kevin Kelly's color commentator long term. I don't know what else to say. The best of Super Junior's final and Dominion were wrestling heaven.
They were heaven. It was so good.
I think there would be a haven from WWE. Grumpy yeah. 2 Electric Boogaloo. P.S. The G1 climax is my favorite. That's what she said. Wrestling time of the year. And New Japan have made me lose my mind up in here with the three people who are going to be in it.
Let me real quick talk about Dominion. First match on the card was John Moxley versus...
Oh, will he ever win?
Listen to this. Versus the Young Lion Shota Umino. He is the, like I said, eldest Young Lion. He is the next one to go on excursion. But Moxley kills, basically destroys Umino, then grabs him and abducts him. So now he's carrying him around like a puppet almost.
Wait. You're saying a match that you thought was just
just a match, yeah.
It's something cool happening.
They made it into something awesome. Like Moxley's probably going to take Umino on excursion with him to AEW or something as his like lackey. It's amazing.
I don't understand, because that sounds like that would be fun. What's that have to do with wrestling?
Yeah.
How does that work into the wrestling thing with the fun and the stuff? I think you're
right. Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. What else do we have here? We also have one from Octopus Mask. And it says, I've been loving the interaction with TNT building up to All Elite Wrestling's premiere. They've been doing really creative tweets. The most recent teased an NWO revenge-style AEW Nintendo 64 game. Yeah, I saw that. It made me wonder, when was the last time USA promoted Raw? I did a keyword search for Raw and WWE on USA's account. Last tweet was over a month ago. And they've only done four since October. They tweet multiple times a day and can't even promote the live product they have on the air weekly. Huh. Also, Larry, next week and next week only, or whenever you're on next. So if Larry's not on next week, then the week after, whatever. I have a challenge for you. If you can go an entire episode without mispronouncing anyone's name, I'll donate $5 to the show. Joe knows I donate. I'm not one of those lying liars that lie, at least not about donations. Can you do it? Octopus Mask. Can you do it, Larry?
Fry. Oh my God.
Look at that. He's already tried. Listen, Octopus Mask, this week he pronounced Andrade mostly right, and with Gino Gambino, he didn't want to mispronounce it, so he asked for help, and it worked. So I think Larry's trying.
See? My E stands for effort.
I know when Larry's trying and when he's not. So
I know.
Most of the time he doesn't, but sometimes he does. So there you go. There you have it. Oh my God.
I know you know. Oh, my God. Uh-huh. Oh, wait. No, I was all disappointed because we're going to go to Raw, but we could do something else.
We're going to, but hold on. I want to read something about Blood Money.
Oh. Okay.
Email from Boondock Saint. He says, hello, Smart Wrestling friends. Just wanted to say that rewatching TLDR is way more entertaining than anything they probably did at Blood Money. So thank you. you have, Joe, you have more creativity in your little finger than Vince has had for years now. I try. I really do. I try. Vince has the exposure, though, so even though he's void of creativity, even though he has none, he has the connections and the money and the television time, so he still makes billions, and I don't, so.
I wish they would hire your little finger.
Just the little finger, though.
Well, yeah, that's mm-hmm. There's a lot of creativity in there.
I agree.
What I hear.
That's what they say.
You want to read the last Blood Money before we...
Why don't you read it?
Wow. Greetings, SWFers. I happen to be checking through the results for Blood Money, better than or as good as WrestleMania, and I noticed Roman Reigns got beat by some newcomer, Shane Meckham. Who is he? I'm sure...
He calls him Shane Nomak.
Oh, I'm sure for him to beat Roman... He must be a young up-and-comer that will lead WWE for years to come. Maybe Vince is hearing the fans, and it's not like he would have two 50-year-old guys main eventing any pay-per-view.
Never.
Keep up the good work. I need TLDR and the podcast because the main shows are awful and redundant. Become a patron subscriber today, please. Sincerely, Slowbro Brazil Jr. P.S. This week, I watched So Old TNA, and it was really good. What? It's most surprising how their treatment of women's wrestling is miles better than the WWE.
Wow.
Oh, my God, right there. We need a wrestler called Miles Better.
That'd be good.
Yep. Yeah. He's miles better than you. Steal that someone, and then pay me.
I'm getting this box over here, the Priority Mailbox, Larry, and I give you credit because this feels like... Now, listen... It sounds like there's about 1,000 broken Lego pieces in here, but
some of them aren't broken.
Oh, that's good. But Larry actually did a smart thing where he got a flat rate Priority Mail box. So he was able to, maybe he didn't. Yeah, medium flat rate. So he was able to pay one cheap rate for this heavy box, which would have cost a fortune otherwise. So good job, Larry, on the shipping this time.
Thank you. I just used the box. You sent me something in a while back.
Oh, okay. Well, perfect. So I'm going to open this.
Miles Better.
It's all taped up, though, so hold on. I should have really pre-opened this, or at least scored it first.
I give it a 10 out of 10.
Ah. Okay, here we go. Oh, my God. Okay. There's like 1,000 things in here, and it's not Lego that I can see, at least.
No.
Okay, let's start from the top. Oh, my God. Well, first of all, there's about 1 million of these things called... There's pins. I'm going to guess you got these at auction. It says, I do everything, Nazareth. 2XS. Is this a band?
What's the other pins say?
They all say that. There's like 100 of them in here. They're all the same.
I know you love Nazareth. You can't love.
What the heck? I lived near Nazareth. Not that one, but the one in Pennsylvania, by the way. Okay, let me tell you what's in here. First of all, oh my God, there's a Ron the Truth Killings TNA Total Nonstop Action Wrestling figure in here with a TNA shirt on. So right away, I don't have that, so thanks for that. Maybe he'll be on TLDR someday. Oh my God, okay, Larry, this is actually, you think it's funny, but an Eric Bischoff figure, which I didn't have Eric Bischoff, so...
See?
Thank you.
He can pop up anytime. He's probably going to main event.
Well, now I can finally do my wrestling musical project that I wanted to do so bad. So maybe I'll do that. Oh, Funaki, SmackDown's number one announcer action figure. Where did you get these? Did you get these on Facebook Marketplace or are these laying around your house? We have Batista in evolution gear, like it's like a suit or something. We have, oh my God, a coupon for 35 cents off Slim Jim from Meyer, but it's expired.
So that's so is Macho Man. So
then we have this, it looks like a birthday card. It says, hey, this is one we gave you.
You don't know that.
Oh, it's, maybe it's not.
I bought the same card. We're sync like that.
Oh, actually it's not. Okay. No, wait, didn't we? Didn't we give you this card? I don't know.
Certainly, it's not the same card. Do I have your name, my name on it, your name on it?
No, you just scratched out all the names and said, oh my God, Larry, okay, get this out of here. All right. Oh my God, a Christopher Daniels action figure? People are thrilled by this list of things. Teddy Long is really, really tall action figure. How is he so tall?
I don't know.
All right, hold on. Maybe I'm picking out the best thing now, but I'm going to say it. This is actually pretty cool. Larry got me a 25th anniversary Steel Cage Challenge WWE or F at the time, WrestleMania, plug-and-play game. So you can plug that in
and play
it. Oh, my God, it's the NES version. Oh, it's horrible. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God, that's got to be good. For some reason, a pin that says Sinatra, the main event. About 100 more
of these. I don't know what WrestleMania that was.
But I don't know. And about 100 more of these buttons. There's so many in here. Some of them are, like, rusty. Larry, what is this?
Don't stab yourself.
And then, okay. But this must be the real gift in here because he got me a shirt that's okay. This is gold, Larry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is the best. He got me a Michael Scott Dwight Schrute 2020 presidential election shirt that says, "That's what she said." Okay, this is gold.
I knew you'd like that.
Well, thanks for this box of weird stuff.
I want you to put all the buttons on your shirt and wear it.
maybe just for a picture, but then I'm going to remove them all. Oh my God.
I don't think you could stand up if you put all those buttons on. Well, who needs that many Nazareth buttons?
Well, guess what I'm going to say, Larry? What? No one needs that many buttons, so I won't even have to give them all up because everyone who's a Crepe Basket subscriber this month can get one of those Nazareth, at least one of those Nazareth buttons that Larry gave me for my birthday because I don't need like 100 of them. So I'm going to give some of them away. That's perfect. So everybody should sign up for Crepe Basket on Patreon, and then they can get one of those weird buttons. And who knows what else is going to be in this month's box. So, thank you for that weirdness.
So, well, Joe, I know you needed something considering blood sands of blood or whatever.
I was having a rough week, so thanks. Yeah, but I do really like that The Office shirt. That's really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's very awesome.
And timely.
Should we do Raw now? Do we need music or should we just do it?
No, just do it. We are on a roll. This is the wrestling. The best thing this week was your gifts, so yeah.
Thanks. Monday Night Raw, live from San Jose, California. Oh my God. Seth Rollins comes out to open the show because, you know, he came. Let me explain what happened to Blood Money real quick because, again, I don't want to review that show because it's the pits, but he retained by roll up at the pay per view, so that's hot. But he comes out.
Every time he's champion, does it seem like nothing's happening?
Yeah.
When he's champ, it just seems like
when Rollins was Universal Champion on this show or WWE Champion on this show, and Dean Ambrose was the WWE Champion on SmackDown. Yes, it always felt like nothing was happening ever. It's really weird. But he comes out with a chair and he says, "It's the new era of the Universal Title." What does that mean?
He just says it.
What new era? He says he's happy that he killed Brock with a chair at Blood Money. And then Baron Corbin comes out, and the crowd hates him. This is actually funny. They won't let him talk. They keep booing him so he can't even open his mouth and speak. But Corbin says, "I'm going to win that title at Stomping Grounds. Excuse me, because I have a rematch. And that referee in Jeddah cheated me. So he's going to be punished." Not only is he not punished, he's in the main event. Yeah. "But at Stomping Grounds, I get to handpick a special referee. Because I get another title shot there." You just said that, Corbin. You just said that you got another title shot. And now you're saying it again like we just learned it. So Sami Zayn comes out. And he's like, and you think, oh, is he the referee? And he goes, "Oh, I'm on Team Corbin. And Seth Rollins, you as champion is hazardous to your health. So it might be better if Corbin was champion." And then they do the plot hole that nobody cares about or even saw. And they're like, Seth's like, "Why would you do that, Sami Zayn? Why would you be referee unless you think there's something in it for you? Is that why?" And Sami says, "Well, I guess if Corbin wins, he might give me a title shot."
That's it.
Wow. Why did we need to even say that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then...
Now, wait. So you're telling me that Blood Money just had the same title match we're going to see at Stomp Your Face?
Let's see. Stomp Your Face has Corbin versus Rollins again, Kofi versus Dolph again. What? Yes, it's the same. Wow. It's almost like you didn't need to see that. Wild card Kevin Owens comes out. Okay. I'm not sure why. And Kevin Owens buries the wild card. He goes, well, guys, since I'm here already and I'm as a wild card, he goes, whatever that means anyway. Why don't we do something? And Rollins says, okay, I will book the main event. It is me, Seth Rollins, versus you, Kevin Owens. And Cole goes, oh boy, I hope they make that a real match. And that's it. Like, what?
Okay, let's address this now. What is going on with Sammy and Owens just jumping shows to just fill space for what?
They're just filler guys that wouldn't go to Blood Money, so they're in the doghouse. I know Sammy wasn't allowed to go, but still. But tonight, get this, is a triple threat tag team match. Usos versus Ryder and Hawkins versus The Revival. Earlier today on .com, I swear it was just Revival versus Ryder and Hawkins. I don't know when the Usos got involved in this. And also Miz TV with Samoa Joe and an interview with Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans. Oh boy. Backstage, Lars Sullivan shows us his vertical leap and keeps jumping as high as he can into the air, like he's trying to like hit the brick in like Super Mario, like the question mark block, and he can't find it. So Lars comes out for an elimination match next. And when we come back from break, I swear to God, it's a rematch from Blood Money. Lars Sullivan versus the Lucha Dragon House Party.
Which is a rematch from the Raw before
Blood Money. Well, that was a fight. That wasn't even a match. But the point is, this is never ending. So let's see what happens here. Lars beats up Kalisto. Lars pins Kalisto. Lars kills Lince Dorado. Lars pins Lince Dorado. Then Lars kills Grand Metalik, but he won't pin him. So then Kalisto fights back, and Lars throws Kalisto onto the steel steps, and it looked like Kalisto's back got broken. And then he kills Metalik some more and still won't pin him, and then he does that big flying headbutt, and Lars wins the match. Wow, he can beat up three little guys. Who cares?
I don't know why anybody cares. Because he's not good at talking.
The crowd does not like this at all. So I don't blame him. Backstage, R-Truth and Carmelo run around, and they have a jobber chase, and now they're waiting for an elevator because they're being chased by jobbers that want the 24/7 title. So they get in the elevator with a few other jobbers, with Cedric and Spud and EC3 and Carmelo and whoever, I don't remember. But they're in the elevator, and there's no ref, though. The referee's outside the elevator, so there can't be any pins in the elevator, but we get that elevator black and white elevator cam thing, which I don't know why there would be a live feed of that. But okay, the elevator gets stuck. Oh boy, shenanigans are about to happen. Stay tuned. We'll see.
It's something.
I know it's better than nothing. That's the thing. At least they're doing something. It started out bad, though, because it was just yet another Benny Hill chase. They need to stop with the Benny Hill.
Yeah. Lacey but Evans. It's sad that the only time WWE thinks... It's like they think stories are jokey and hackneyed. Oh, we can do stories and things with this because it's not really important.
That's what they think. Lacey Evans backstage looks into a mirror. Mojo Rawley shows up. No, he's not there. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are backstage fake talking to each other. Why do we need to acknowledge that they're dating? There's no story about it. Why are we doing this?
I don't know. And if you do, you need to do it where he was being taken out on a stretcher. Show that just so you can wink at the fans and be done. I don't know why this is a thing.
Yeah. When we come back from break, Michael Cole does a split screen interview with Lacey Evans and Becky Lynch. And Lacey says, after I beat you, you're going to go from Becky two belts to Becky no belts. You know, she only has one belt right now, right? You dumb, stupid moron. Seriously. What? She knows that Bayley has the other title.
What? I don't know if she can follow. She can't follow the same way we can't follow who is on where and who
has. But it doesn't matter. She can't do math. She just said you're gonna go from two belts to no belts. How would that work? Okay. Tonight it's Bayley and Becky, the champs, versus Lacey and Bliss, the two number one contenders. Backstage, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross talk. I despise this with all of my being. Alexa does that gaslighting thing she did with Mickey James and Nia Jax before, and she tricks Nikki into thinking Bailey is a bully and that Bailey was abusing Alexa in NXT and she was horrible to her and mean. I hate it so much. Why? Especially, why?
Because I want her to be so much better, and I thought she was going to get. But I
she's still understand. She's not what growing. Doing. She's the same horrible, horrible thing.
I don't think anybody's making her do anything differently.
There's no growth, and I hate it. So the Miz comes out. Come back from break. It's Miz TV with special guest, the new United States champion, Samoa Joe. And Miz is mad at Samoa Joe. He's like, listen, it's fine that you are US champ and all that, but why'd you have to bring Ray's family into this? Why do you always have to bring families into it? And Samoa Joe's like, you want me to bring your family into it? Huh? So they stand off, and then Braun Strowman comes out. And then Renee says, oh, time to put some gold on the monster. Put some gold. You better book Braun Strowman to get the U.S. title. Why would you say it like that?
That's so annoying.
Lashley comes out, too. Oh, my God. He says, I'm not done with you, Braun Strowman. And also, Samoa Joe, I'm not done with you either. I want a U.S. title shot. So then Ricochet comes out, and he wants a U.S. title shot. And Cesaro comes out, and he beats up Ricochet. And then everybody fights. And when we come back from break, hey, what a shock. It's a six-man tag match, everybody. Miz, Braun, and Ricochet against Samoa Joe, Lashley, and Cesaro. Sick of this yet? At least, I'll tell you what. What's funny here is this clearly is going somewhere where it looks like these are the six guys maybe going to go for the U.S. title in a TLC match or a ladder match or something. But what's weird about it is that Cesaro pulled out the ladder and table last week before all these people got involved and there was any title. So, like, what were they going to reach for? But anyway. Six-man tag, though. Are you excited? No.
No, no one. No, who is? No one.
No, nobody. Samoa Joe grabs his title and leaves. Braun tries to chase him, but gets speared by Lashley. And then a 6:30 on to Cesaro, and the faces win. So, what's weird to me is seeing Miz, Braun Strowman, and Ricochet doing fist bumps with each other. That's weird. But, hey, whatever. It's fine. Tonight, Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens is official. Oh, boy. Don't you want that for your main event? I can't wait. But Corbin is backstage interviewed by Charlie. And he says, I haven't picked a special guest referee yet. I'm working on it. I'll get somebody. And then Sami Zayn comes in and he says, hey, Corbin, let's chat. And Sami doesn't know how TV works. So he lowers his own volume on his mouth by just like miming the conversation. But we can still hear all the other noises. Why does Sami not understand how television works? It was like one of those things like on Gilligan's Island where you go, now I'll tell you what our plan is. And then you put your hand up to the air and go, like, it might as well have been that. But that would have been better than this.
Yeah, it might as well have been.
Becky Lynch comes out for a tag match next, and it's Becky and Bayley versus Bliss and Lacey Evans. This match is a terrible turd. Bliss does nothing, and Lacey Evans gets the win. This match sucked. And I'm embarrassed by... Listen, Lacey Evans is terrible in the ring, but she's a million times better than Alexa Bliss. This match, just, it's a shame when Becky Lynch and Bayley have to wrestle against this.
And now, Sasha gone. Now is Corey hating on Bayley?
Yes.
Because there's no Sasha? Why does that need to be a thing?
Well, because Graves is just really trying to be a heel and trying to align himself that he doesn't like any faces now. So,
and then all. I think it was Renee said Becky and Bayley stand tall. Don't say that. Yeah. It's become too much of a thing.
Stand tall and put the gold on him.
Yep. Yeah. Now, and also, why do the commentators have to constantly, what would happen if Alexa Bliss wins? Will she take it back to the, right. Will she have to come on this? Why not tell us what happens? Because obviously the powers that be have put her in a match.
Right, so they know what would happen. No, they don't, because they would figure it out on the fly. That's horrible.
But in kayfabe, they expect us to believe that the powers that be, whoever they are, which for some reason is Shane, even though this is Raw.
It just seems to be only Shane now. Yeah.
Remember when we saw that thing with Stephanie, they introduced her as the Raw GM?
Yep.
Where is she?
On TakeOver, that's what they called her. They said Commissioner of Raw, Stephanie McMahon. Yep.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. I hate it. Backstage, Shane is on the phone. Sami Zayn comes in. He says, "Hey, Shane." Now, did you understand the segment? Because I didn't.
No.
Okay, so no. Let me explain it, and let's see if anyone else could figure it out. Sami says, "Listen, I want to be the special guest referee tonight." And then Shane goes, "Like an audition of sorts." And Sammy's like, "Yes, but how about this? I don't know if I'm ready to be the inside ref. How about I'm just the outside ref and I just like oversee it?" And Shane goes, "I have a better idea. How about you, instead of being the inside ref, you just the outside ref and then you just oversee the match." And Sammy goes, "You're a genius." Like, okay, was that supposed to be or Shane like repeating and just stealing the idea? Or was that Sammy stole Shane's line and Shane had nothing to say and Shane didn't know how to fix that?
I don't understand any of it because I still don't understand Sammy's motivation for even giving a crap about any of this.
There's none.
But yeah, I don't understand a tryout match. If Shane is evil and Corbin is evil and Sammy's the obvious
why not just
evil
do
choice,
it? Yeah.
Why would you need one? Is there a better evil choice? Aren't they just supposed to be evil? I hate it.
WWE is at its lowest time right now, ever. We come back from break. Paul Heyman's in the ring. And then Cole says, over top of his Nowhere Live, and he goes, "Paul Heyman." And then he goes, "Sorry, Mike." What was that? What? What just happened? But then, Retcon City, Heyman says, "Last week, Brock Lesnar destroyed Seth Rollins, and he decided he wasn't going to cash in because he could cash in on Rollins anytime he wanted to." That's not what happened at all.
He said Friday.
Yes.
And it's exactly the opposite of what Paul is going to say here in a second.
Yeah, he said, "Oh, we're just going to beat him up every week and then never tell you when we're going to cash in." What? But you told, and what about that Stephanie video? But what? Excuse me. Heyman says, "No more Mr. Nice Jew. I'm not telling you when we're cashing in, ever."
So I'm going to start. Okay, so he says he's going to start doing what Money in the Bank does, but it's also the thing that made Stephanie mad.
Right.
That you do that thing that it does.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Oh, they don't care. That's what's going on. Now we cut to the commentators. Lazy, casual Renee has her hands in her pockets like a five-year-old.
What was all that doodling around?
I don't know. She's like, "I'm Polly Pocket. Look at me, Raggedy Ann here."
At first, I thought she didn't know they were cutting to the actual visual of them.
She liked it.
She just kept going. When she obviously looking at. I'm like, why are you all just sticking your shirt in, tucking your shirt in, got your
pocket? She's like, "Look how casual I am with my big baggy clothes and my hands in my pockets. I'm a little girl." You know this is a professional like gig here, Renee, right? I'm just letting you know, just in case you don't know, it is. But, oh wait, you're protected, so you have nothing to worry about. So dumb. Jobbers still in an elevator. EC3 pulls out a plastic fork and says it's time for cannibalism. Okay. Then they talk about the talking hat where it's too loud in there. So Carmella says, "Look, here's the hat. Whoever holds the hat is allowed to talk." And Spud grabs the hat and he talks about how he needs to get out of here because he's getting married in a few weeks. Why would that matter if it's in a few weeks?
I don't know. Does he think they're going to be in there for a month?
I don't know. And then R-Truth thinks that Spud is Hornswoggle.
That was funny.
Yeah.
It was nice to see EC3 and Rockstar Spud together.
They used to have really good interaction.
Yes. It made me want them to be together. This may be one EC3. Why can't I have my EC3?
Nope. Because he's always going to be a Dixie Carter named character.
Yeah. Like him.
Vince does not. The Iconics come out to the ring. We go to break. When we come back, They announced a brand new episode of Firefly Funhouse is later tonight. Okay, the Iconics have jobbers ready in the ring, and they wrestle these jobbers, and everyone in the booth, including Renee, bury these jobbers. Everyone's cracking up at how funny these jobbers are. Why is it so funny? They're just indie wrestlers. It's not like...
Well, it was from their name. They were saying, but you don't know if maybe they're great wrestlers, and every good wrestler has a horrible name.
Yeah, I don't understand this. But yeah, the Iconics win. But even Renee jokes once again, yeah, the Iconics are the longest reigning champs because they never defend the titles. Why is it that every week...
Like her husband?
Oh my God. Why is it that every week when the Iconics aren't fighting jobbers, when they're fighting other wrestlers, they lose every week to other wrestlers and those other wrestlers never get a title shot? Why is that? What happened to Asuka and Kairi Sane? They died.
They point out the fact that the Revival lost at Blood Money, but yet they're like, oh, I can't believe they lost at Blood Money, but yet they get a title shot. Well, how many people have won against these two?
Right. All of them. Seriously, every woman on the roster, I think, at this point. Post-match Blood Money Roman Reigns interview about how Shane is a trash heap, and Byron Saxton's doing the interview. He's like, in the record book, it's always going to show that Shane beat you, pinned you. And Roman's like, yeah, we had to do a lot of things we didn't want to do for that prince over there. I don't want to talk about it. So that's good. Best in the world. Nothing to say about that?
I know. I'm just, we'll get on. Wait till Shane comes out.
Okay. Because guess what? Best in the world celebration setup. I swear we just had a best in the world celebration. I swear we did. We go to break. We come back. They're in the elevator still. And they talk again, and Renee goes, I want to know what EC3 has in that cup, as EC3 points the cup to the camera, and you can see it's empty. Oh, God. Wow. Drew McIntyre.
Why would you want to know that anyway?
Yeah, I don't. And how is the joke not that they have to pee in that cup?
I thought there was going to be I have to pee spot. But
anything. As Dwight Schrute would say, you have to establish a pee corner. Drew McIntyre gets a bagpipe entrance. Shane comes out. I hate this so much. The crowd chants boring. And Shane's like, well, I'm the best and this is what I do. So you better get used to it.
Oh, it's so terrible.
Drew does the exact same speech he did to Roman Reigns before WrestleMania. He does that here.
And what is the point of Shane beat Roman? Now Drew gets Roman. What progression is there here in the story?
There's
Drew
none.
Is Shane's lackey, so the boss beat the video game character.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now one of the boss's underbosses is going to fight him.
Yep.
Without the boss being involved.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If he beats Drew, does he get another shot at Shane, which just kills Drew's makes career? No sense. But at least it's something. Yep. And what did Shane mean when he said that Roman Reigns hits like a mule?
Yeah, hits like a mule. I don't know.
It's like mule. Have you ever seen a boxing mule?
Boxing mules are very famous. Very popular.
Like a mule.
So they celebrate and they drink champagne out of the best in the world trophy. And then the Revival come out and they want to drink too. And Shane says, no, you're not allowed to drink. I didn't write down what he said. He said every one of his lines wrong. Everyone. Yeah. So that's good.
It's every week now.
Yep. We come back from break. It's a triple threat tag team title match. Revival versus Art in the Ring Usos versus Ryder and Hawkins. But before the match, Ryder and Hawkins get backstage interview. And they basically say, we're jobbers. Usos splash to Ryder. And then the Revival come in and steal it. So Revival, they won the tag titles. So
what is Hawkins, the point of any title they have ever put on Zack Ryder? And I like Zack Ryder. I like what Zack Ryder good enough.
But none.
Yeah. Every title he gets is just, once it's on him, you're like, wow, we really regret putting this title on him.
Yeah, and then they weren't on TV for 1 month, and now that they are, they lose the titles. Okay, but did you see this? After the Revival win, Scott Dawson, which is the other one, Dash Wilder. So Scott Dawson uses the title as butt floss. Is he going to pay for that?
They have made them act like fools. Even when they were, did you see when they were drinking in the ring? They took the cups away and they had to do the whole like thirsty dog.
Yes, I know.
What? They've made them into jokes anyway.
I know. And Dawson was doing the, I have to kiss you 100 times thing. Cause men can kiss each other because the Usos said they can't thing on the ramp. So, yes, I understand this has just become one sort of meta cartoon, but Butt Floss title, I don't know about this. I'm not sure. Like, he's going to pay.
Yeah, I'm feeling. How's he going to pay? By doing something stupid? Like,
no, I mean, by they're going to lose the titles next week already to the Usos.
The titles are gone. Yeah. They're going to lose. Okay. They're not keeping for a long period.
Backstage, Charlie interviews Seth Rollins. I don't even care. Firefly Funhouse is up next, but when we come back, it's not next. It's the elevator again. Here's the joke. Here's the punchline, everybody. Everybody in the elevator realizes they have things in common and they get along. Yeah, aren't they all faces? So the door opens, and then Truth escapes, but not before everyone tries to get the title because the friendship's over. That's it. So once again, as long as Truth has the title at the beginning of the show and the end of the show, everything's fine. That's getting old.
Mm. Also, remember how Mojo had that segment about how his character development wasn't even on Raw? Dana Burke got to come out on Raw this tonight. And
did she really?
Yeah, because remember that was a thing. Why are they not building anybody up?
What did she say?
I don't know. I haven't got a chance. I just saw that got a segment. Oh, but of course not on TV segment.
No. Mm-mm. So Michael Cole says that Bray Wyatt actually invited R-Truth to the Firefly Funhouse as a safe house to not lose his 24/7 title. Okay. I don't see how that's canon, but all right. Firefly Funhouse time. Bray Wyatt's dressed up like Handy Manny, and he's putting a sign on the door. And Ramblin' Rabbit's there, and he's fighting with Mercy the Buzzard, and he's swatting Mercy with a fly swatter. And he's like, hey, Mercy's trying to eat me again. And Bray scares them, and he goes, you two better stop fighting. You want me to get the Fiend? And they get really scared. So he can use that against them to control them. That's funny. But Bray says, how about we let fate decide? And he uses the gloves, the Hurt and Heal gloves. But the Rabbit, I guess, gets lucky, you think, and gets the heel one. No, he doesn't, because the Rabbit gets to do a monologue, like a presidential type of speech monologue about how you shouldn't eat your friends. But then all of a sudden, Bray Wyatt has a clown nose on, like it, and he uses the Hurt glove to grab Ramblin' Rabbit, squeeze him to death, throw him on the ground, and then use a giant hammer, like a clown would in a circus, or maybe the Joker or someone like that, and murder Ramblin' Rabbit by squishing him a million times with the hammer, and then his guts are all over, the rabbit's guts are all over the floor. So Bray eats the guts, and he's like, wow, that's delicious, and he sells Ramblin' Rabbit's guts as a bottled delicacy to eat as a bohemian breakfast, like bottled jams or whatever. What the F is going on with this show? This is like disturbing now.
I know. I
love it, but wow.
And it's so different than the rest of Raw that whether it's great or just okay.
Oh yeah. Matter. You just take it. You just go, it's good.
And we have to have something.
Because it's a product, right, that you can watch and enjoy. But yeah, eventually, though, Bray's going to have to transition to the ring, and I don't know how that's going to work. So, we'll see.
Do you think they've thought that out?
No. Seth Rollins comes out. I know. Seth Rollins comes out. Main event, Seth versus Kevin Owens. And Sami Zayn, as the second guest referee standing outside the ring, gets a special entrance after the two guys in the match. Why would the referee get the last entrance on the show? Oh my God. Rollins bleeds from his eyeballs right away. Like he has a cut on his eyebrow or something. It's a match. It's a good match that I don't care about. Stomp, and looks like Seth's going to win, but Sammy pulls the other ref out. And by the way, the other ref is John Cone, the same ref that screwed over Baron Corbin at Blood Money, and then Baron said heads are going to roll, or somebody's going to lose their head, or he made some kind of Saudi joke, and then said that John Cone would be punished, and nothing happened. In fact, he was right there. So what? So Rollins grabs Sami Zayn,
and wouldn't Sammy's that be like, part of the story if you said John Cone couldn't be trusted to ref a match himself now?
Yep.
That was pretty easy.
Yep. No, they don't care. So Rollins grabs Sammy, and Sammy's like, nope, can't touch an official, ring the bell. So Kevin Owens wins by DQ, so I guess that counts for something. But Rollins beats up Sami Zayn, and then Corbin comes out to beat up Rollins, and I'm going to vomit. And then Corbin grabs a chair but gets chased away, and Rollins uses the chair on Sammy and kills Sammy and won't stop hitting him. And then he rips Sammy's ref shirt off and gives him a big stomp, and then that's it. Sami Zayn's dead, and Seth Rollins wins. Once again, Seth Rollins just beat up Sami Zayn at the end of Raw, and like, that's not anything. That's not why any reason to get... this is nothing. Is this a joke?
Why would you be wild-carding it everywhere just to... if they both keep getting just...
I don't know. So I would assume that now they're going to... that Corbin's going to pick Owens and Zayn... right? Excuse me, as inside and outside ref. So there's two refs, two heel refs. So it seems like...
parts don't know and don't care.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, I assume that's what it is, because Owens and Zayn just aren't getting a real story at all. They're not going to get any kind of a break. They're just going to be stuffed into whatever's going on at the time. Yeah. That's your Raw, everybody. Don't you love it?
That was two bad shows, Joe.
It was... two really bad shows with a show we didn't even cover right in the middle. That was like the worst show of the year. Yeah.
The only thing I think that we need to say from Blood Sands is we're getting Dolph and Kofi again. So yeah, Dolph and Kofi again, Roman Reigns versus the Shane group again.
Right.
And we're getting Baron Corbin and, oh my God, which is the match no one wanted to see.
It's all the same, except this time with women's matches. That's the only difference. Yep.
Oh, will we ever see the guy who won the 50-man battle royal? What,
Mansoor? No.
Yeah.
No. Just like how we never saw that green title that Braun won in the battle royal, we'll never see Mansoor again. He'll be on NXT and he'll maybe mention it on NXT and then probably lose that match that he just before he, you know. Please help support the show at patreon.com/smartwrestlingfan. We need your money. WWE doesn't. So if everyone just cancels their WWE network subscription and just donates the money to Smart Wrestling Fan, we're all good.
Yeah. Do you really need to see Kofi Grounds or whatever it is?
Nobody needs to see that show.
I don't think there's going to be a good match on that show.
I don't doubt that Kofi and Dolph won't be good. It's just the point of who cares? Wait, I don't believe Dolph can win, so who cares?
Well, I mean, I'm not talking wrestling-wise. I mean, just, yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not going to be Triple H versus... What's Orton doing at Coffee Nothing. Grounds?
He's not on the show.
He won the match.
Yep.
And they're not going to do anything.
Yep. And he's not even on the next show. Mansoor won against 49 other guys, and he's not going to be on anything. Oh my God. Forget it. I don't even know what to say anymore, except listen, please help this show continue. Go help us. You know how. I don't have to even tell you. SmartWrestlingFan.com. You know the links. Just go nuts. Help us out if you can. I'm sick. I need some sleep.
Yes, Joe. Go to sleep.
Thanks for the gifts, Larry.
I'm glad you were able to do the show tonight.
Me too. I'm glad we got it done so that we can get this information out there and then I can go rest up. So, thank you so much for listening, everybody. We do appreciate it. We really do. If you can, like I said, visit our Patreon page, share TLDR. There's a lot of things, ways you can help, and a lot of them are free. So, but if you have the money, you know, contribute. If you don't, that's fine. But there's free ways you can help. Spreading the word about TLDR, spreading the word about our, you know, retweeting our stuff, sharing our stuff from Facebook, all those things. So anyway, thank you so much. We appreciate you. And until next time, bye, everybody.